If you've looked at your notes, you know that this morning we're talking about hearing God. Amen? How many of you hear God? I should see a lot of hands. Okay, good. Well, I want to talk to you about this because this fits our ongoing theme. We've been talking all beginning of the year, since early in the year, we've been talking about how God wants us to pursue the activity of His kingdom. How He wants a church, and we read this in Ephesians 4, where every member is doing the work of the ministry, where everyone is in tune with their gifting and is providing, and the church is knit together and strengthened by what every joint supplies. And in order to do that, every one of us, not just some gifted people, every single believer needs to be able to hear God. Amen? Amen. So we want to talk about that this morning. And anytime you talk about hearing God, you probably jump right in and start with John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, I'm going to start there also, but I want you to know that this verse is probably a lot deeper than you realize. If you've just used that as a proof text that God speaks to His people and they have the ability to hear Him, that is the very, very, very smallest tip of the surface of what's being said here, okay? So let's dig in a little bit more and unpack this. John 10:27, Jesus is speaking, and He says, my sheep, and He says three things. We want to look at each one. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, right? Now, the context is interesting because He's actually talking to a group of Jews who are annoyed with Him, and they're kind of putting their foot down. They're saying, would you just tell us whether or not you're the Messiah? And he basically, His answer to them is, I've been making it real clear. You guys just can't hear me because you're in unbelief, because you're not my sheep, right? And so this verse is in the context of Him talking to people and going, you're not my sheep. And so what He's doing with this verse is He's actually defining what His sheep are. He's defining His relationship with His sheep, His children, His church, His people, us. So these three things define what our relationship with Jesus is supposed to be. And of course, in John 10, the context is He's casting Himself as the good shepherd of the sheep, right? Okay, so I want to look at these three things in a little bit. I want to focus on each one with a little bit of detail, and then we're going to talk more as we go. So just I'll sort of develop these themes as I go, but I want to at least state them early on. The first one is, my sheep hear my voice. This means what He's talking about here is that His sheep are attentive to Jesus, that they are listening to His voice, that they're paying attention, that they're listening to Him. It has more to do with our attitude about hearing Him than our ability to hear Him, okay? It's not just we have a supernatural ability to hear Jesus speak. It's that we're hanging on every word. It's that my sheep really want to hear my voice. My sheep are listening for me. They are tuned into me, okay? The second, I know them, He's talking about intimacy, about individual communication. He's not saying, I know Church on the Rock. He's saying, I know Gary. I know Caroline. I know Anna. I know Tim. You understand the difference? So it's very individual here. We're going to see this in a minute as we look at the rest of the chapter. So He's saying, my sheep are paying attention, and I have intimate knowledge of each one. I know each one. I am in relationship with each one. I'm not in relationship with them as just as a group. I'm in relationship with each sheep. So that means you. And then third, He says, they follow me. Now, the word disciples, anybody know what the word disciple means? It means follower, okay? Now, I love the passage where Jesus, again, casting Himself as a shepherd, says, if one of my sheep is lost, I'll leave the 99 and go after him. I love the song, Reckless Love, where we talk about his love is so abandoned toward us that he will leave 99 to chase after the one that's lost. But I want you to bear in mind, and I don't want to ruin the song for you, but I want you to bear in mind that that is talking about a lost sheep, not a disciple. Why don't disciples get lost? Because they're following. Do you understand? So you have to be careful, because I've noticed sometimes believers will want to claim both sides of that. They'll want to claim both conditions. You know, Jesus will come after me and leave the 99 and come after me. I said, yes, he will, but why are you lost? Why don't you just be a disciple and not make him come after you? Right? And so what's he saying here? He's saying, my sheep follow me. My sheep are disciples. They're paying attention. They're listening for my voice, and they're going where my voice is. They're doing what I say, or at least they're trying to do what I say. What he's talking about here is, my sheep trust me. They don't go off on their own. They trust me to take care of them, and they do what I say. Are you with me? So let's develop this a little bit more. Now, some of this, I'm just going to, really, the whole chapter up until verse 27 is all on this theme of him being the great shepherd. And so I want to look at a few other verses just prior to John 10, 27, earlier in the chapter, that develop this a little bit, just to show you I'm not just making this stuff up. In John 10, verses 3 through 5, it says to him, he's talking about the good shepherd, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. We're going to see these exact same three things. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. There's that individual thing, right? And leads them out. And where he brings, and when he brings out his own sheep and goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So we see those same three things again, don't we? Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. We're going to talk about different voices in a little bit, and how we have to be careful about what voice we're listening to. But knowing his voice speaks of a developed intimacy, right? And then in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. All right? Now, if I say of anyone, if you just pick somebody, and I go, I know that guy, and that guy is known by me, or that guy knows me, what do you don't assume that I just see them like once a year, right? There's some relationship there. I know that guy. That guy really knows me. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, I'm a good shepherd. I really know my sheep, and I'm really known by my sheep. So our part is, we really know, right? So we want to talk about hearing God. And at the end of the day, it's a trust relationship that has come through a developed intimacy. That's all it is. And we're all supposed to have this. This is not just some gifted people hear God. Christians hear God. All of them are supposed to hear God. All of us are supposed to trust him and have this developed, intimate relationship where there's communication, okay? And I like what Mike Bickle says. Mike Bickle talks about, because when we talk about God speaking and us responding, it can get real easy to get condemned, because we don't always do the best job of responding to his voice, do we? So we're going to have times where we have issues with sin or with fear or with worry or other things. What I'm talking about is what Mike calls a yes in our heart. That when God speaks, is our heart say yes? Sometimes we have a difficulty following through. I get that. And we help each other. But what I'm looking for, what God's looking for, is there a yes in our heart to the voice of God? That's very important. That's what he's talking about in the first point, where he says, my sheep hear my voice. They're attentive to me. There's a yes in their heart. They want to hear what I have to say. You ever been in a place where you didn't want to hear what God has to say? Be honest. Because you had your own plans, right? I'm not going to ask God, because he might say something different than what I have planned. That's not a yes heart, You understand? Okay. So let's talk about this a little bit. Now, the first thing is we have to believe and expect that he's going to lead us, that he's going to in some way communicate with us. We have to do this. All believers have to do this. This is not an optional doctrine or, you know, you just, you know, you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven, you have nothing that you put up there, you just went. If we're going to do any kind of ministry with and for Jesus, we're going to have to believe that he leads us. And in fact, I want you to see that it's the mark of our sonship or daughtership. It's the mark of adoption. Okay? And this is a really, really, really simple point, but it's super profound, and you need to let it sink in. The mark that we are sons and daughters of God, the indication that we have been adopted by him is that we're led by him. It's right here in Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. How do you know if you're a son or daughter of God? Well, he's begun to lead you, and you follow him. It's that simple. If you say you're a son or daughter of God and you're not following him, there's a reason for question, isn't there? And so if we're going to follow him, we have to be able to be led by him. We're going to have to hear his voice in some ways. Now, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Again, it speaks of that intimacy of that relationship, that daddy relationship, what Rachel was saying earlier. The best father in the world ever is our father, right? And so we have to recognize that the mark of our adoption, the mark of our sonship is this intimacy with Jesus, so much so that we can be led by his spirit, right? Now, so we must learn to do this. And specifically, we must learn how he speaks to each of us through developed intimacy. Remember on point two, we said it's individual communication. I know each of you by name. So Job says in Job 33, I love this passage. He says, God speaks in many ways, yet man does not perceive it. And then he starts talking about dreams and visions. So what he's basically saying is God's talking all the time. We just don't catch most of it. And the problem is he speaks in many ways. You know, he speaks in dreams. He speaks in, you know, Helen sees pictures and Lori gets metaphors and I get feelings and that I have to put into words. And so I can't teach Lori how to hear God or Helen how to hear God their way. They have to learn. You understand what I'm saying? How many of you have had a kid who you almost had to get a baseball bat to get him to hear you? And I say him because it was probably a boy. Anybody have one of those? Yeah. How many of you had a kid where you just look at them cross and they start crying and repenting? Right. Do you treat those two kids the same? Do you communicate them to them in the same way? No. You yell at the sensitive one and they won't come out of the room for a week. You know? You try and be gentle with the one that needs a baseball bat and he just won't ever hear you. You learn how to speak to your kid. Well, God does that too. And so the good news is God will speak to each and every one of you in some way. The bad news is I don't know how to help you specifically because I don't know how he's going to talk to you. He does. I do know that you need to pursue intimacy, but he's going to speak to you the way he's going to speak to you. And so this is kind of interesting. You can't just pick up a teaching on here's three steps to hearing God or whatever. You got to learn how he speaks to you because he speaks to all of us differently, right? But he will. He will lead you. He wants to do it. And so my point here is we have to believe that he will, and we have to learn how he speaks to each of us. And so I wish I could help you more. You know, if you start figuring out how he's speaking to you, we can talk. I might have some hints, but he's going to speak to you the way he speaks to you. You know, Rachel gets dreams. I rarely get dreams. We're all different. God speaks the way he wants to because he knows us. Make sense? All right, so it's an adventure. Go on it. Learn how God wants to communicate with you. But I will say this. There are some things, there are some practical things I can give you to pay attention to. The first one is, he is often really, really subtle. And I don't think that's just for some of us. I think that's for all of us. And I think there's a reason. And now, he doesn't always start out that way. I remember when I first began to hear God, there would be a feeling with it. And that was good, because I knew if I felt that feeling, God was speaking. And then the feeling went away, and it became very, very subtle, almost like a whisper. I'm like, dang it, it was a lot easier when I had a feeling. But he weaned me off that. I think it's because he wants to draw us into intimacy. He wants to draw our attention. You notice when Moses asked God to see his glory in 1 Kings 19, God said, yeah, stand over here. I'll walk by. I'll put my hand over you so I don't have to kill you. And then after I'm passed, you can see my glory. And what he ends up doing is speaking to him. He declares his goodness to Moses, right? So he communicates with him. That's how he shows him his glory. Now, what's interesting, though, is we read, Moses does what he's told in the first thing. There's a wind, and there's stuff blowing around. There's stuff flying everywhere. And holy cow, this is amazing. This is like Florida in September. And, so God must be in this. Well, no, he's not. And then there's an earthquake. It's a big earthquake. This is like California all the time. But no, God's not in the earthquake. And then there's a big fire, and God's not in the fire. And then what do we have? You remember? Still small voice. Why would God do that? Why? Why do you think God speaks in a still small voice? What happens when I do that? Everyone pays attention. You got to focus in. I think it's the way he draws us into intimacy. So understand, God is often subtle, and it's a wooing, it's a drawing. Make sense? So just be aware, he might start out, giving you really clear stuff, but at some point, he's going to be subtle. He's going to want to draw you close, draw your attention. We see this in Scripture, that he does want to speak to us, he does want to lead us, but it's often subtle. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, he says, your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Isn't it interesting that in this passage, he's now out in front leading us, going, come on. He's going, you go. And every once in a while, I'm going to sneak up behind you and go right, go left. Yeah? You'll hear a word behind you. I'm leading you. Keep going. I'm with you. I'm watching. Right? I love Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. That's a promise. I will guide you with my eye. You ever done that? I had, in high school, I was a wide receiver, football team, and my two best friends were quarterbacks. And so for fun, just for fun, most people would call this training, but we just thought it was fun, we'd go down to the field on any given day in the summer and just, I'd run routes and they'd throw the ball. It was just what we did for fun. Well, we got to know each other really, really well. So in this fall, when we're actually playing in games, I was allowed to, break routes and go off and do other stuff. And we would just catch, I'd just catch the quarterback's eye or he'd catch mine, and we would know. I'd have this route called, but the coverage wouldn't allow it. I'd go there, and we just know what we were going to do. It was this weird psychic communication thing with our eyes. But it was because we'd spent hours and hours and hours just for fun practicing. Right? So we would actually communicate with our eyes across a distance. Have you ever had something like that? You understand what it means to be led with your eyes? So this is God's desire. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like a horse or like a mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Would you rather be guided with your eye, or would you rather have to have a bit put in your mouth and him yank your head around to lead you? How many of you have had kids like that? I'm just going to put a bridle on them. Yank their head around. Jesus has kids like that too. He'll lead you that way if you make him. But he doesn't want to. He He wants to guide you with his eye. Again, there's that subtlety that speaks of built relationship and intimacy. Now, notice the ultimate goal. He says, they have to be harnessed or they will not come near you. What's his goal? That you come near him. So his desire is to draw us near. Amen? Now, a couple other practical things I'm going to give you. Just practical tips as you're learning to hear God. There are other voices. And so a lot of hearing God is deciding, was that God or another voice? The other voices are mostly the devil, or not, you know, probably not Satan himself. None of us probably rate his attention most days. But he has lots of helpers, little devils, and they will talk to you, and they'll tell you things, and they'll lie to you. And so there's a voice, and you have to decide. And they'll pretend to be God's voice. All right? They like to pretend to be God when they're talking to you about what you're doing wrong, because they like to get you under condemnation. There's our own voice, and really that comes out in two ways. That can be our flesh. My flesh usually wants to talk about food. I'm just saying. It can be our conscience. Sometimes our conscience, the voice of our conscience, will be harder on us than God will be on us. You believe that? Yeah. And our conscience is often a good voice. And so we have to sort these things out. Is the devil talking to me? Is God talking to me? Am I talking to me? And all those things happen in our head. And that can be hard. But know this. One, it's not a test. You can practice. Practice means you have the opportunity to fail. Just try and learn from your failures. It's okay. God's not going to get mad. He's not offended because you thought Satan's voice was him. He'd just like you to correct that, right? And so practice. But know that all these voices are talking all the time. And so it's you practicing, learning to tune in God's voice, like the sheep that know his voice, and they won't respond to the voice of a stranger because they've become intimate with him and they know his voice. They've heard his voice a lot. The more you hear it, the easier it'll get, right? Now, the other thing is Proverbs 11 says there's wisdom in counsel, or wisdom in the counsel of many. And so you don't have to hear him alone, especially if you're not haven't heard God a lot. So if you're, you go home and you're trying, I'm going to hear God, and he says, sell everything you have and move to Kentucky, you might want to run that by a couple people who are, are pretty good at hearing God. And they'll go, no, I've been to Kentucky. Stay here. just kidding. Kentucky's wonderful. We were watching the Derby yesterday. It rained a lot. Anyway, you understand, it's not wrong. It's not like it's a test, like, oh, I have to act on this. God's very rarely in a hurry, very rarely in a hurry. So be cautious of those do this and do it now words, right? There's time to go, I don't know if that's God. I'm gonna let that simmer for a day or two and see if that still has some life on it. You know, that Kentucky thing, it might feel like that. In a week from now, I might not feel like that's a word from God. No problem waiting, right? And so you just do that. Because it's not a test, it's perfectly fine to go, hey, I think to check with people you trust who know Jesus and go, I think God's telling me this. Does that make sense? And they can help you or apply scripture or whatever, right? But we need to practice. And then there's this one rule that's a huge rule that you should remember, because the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. It's what he does. So you need to know, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Paul says we're obligated to only speak things to others that edify them. Is God exempt from Ephesians 4? No. God is always going to build you up. Now, I am not saying he will not put his finger right on sin issues or heart attitude issues and say, this is sin or this is wrong. I'm saying he's not going to condemn you. He will give you a redemptive path. He will say, repent. He never comes and says, you're bad. He comes and says, you can be better. the devil comes and says, you're bad, you suck, and it's over. Right? You've all heard that voice. So condemnation is not God. God is redemptive. God will build you up. The most common wrong voice you'll hear is one that condemns you. Again, God will point out sin. God will point out issues. But he does it to bring us into repentance, turning back to agreement with him. Right? So, there's that. That's the only practical tips I can give you. The rest of it, you're going to have to learn how God talks to you. Okay? Now, here's the most important thing of all of this, I'm going to spend the rest of the time talking about this. This is really important. We hear with our hearts. We hear God with our hearts, not our ears. Okay? That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. Out of it flows the issues of life. Guarding our heart means be careful what we let into it, because it's going to cause what flows out of it. And that means be careful what we listen to. Now, so we hear with our hearts. We don't really hear so much with our heads. And a lot of people mess up on this because they're trying to hear God in their head. And that's where all the other voices are. I don't know. And again, everybody's different. Our spirit man is, I don't know where, but you know, God talks about our spirit and our inner man. Most times when I hear God, it's somewhere in here. That's just me. And then I process it, what I've heard, with my brain. But I don't usually hear God in my head. It's somewhere in my spirit. It's hard to describe. But I'm just telling you, we hear with our hearts. And I want to show you this in Scripture. In Matthew 13, the connection between our hearts and our ears. Jesus is talking, and Jesus is always telling parables, and the disciples, like any of you who've been teachers, you understand the disciples' question, because students will always go, would you just tell me the answer? Why are you making me work this hard? Why are you making me think, is this going to be on the test, right? And so this is basically the disciples going, is this going to be on the test? So they're asking, why are you always talking in parables? You can make it sound, you use a British accent, make it sound good. But I think they're just basically going, would you stop? We don't understand what you're saying. And Jesus says, well, there's a reason. There's a reason I'm doing this. He says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, not in us, in them, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Why? For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing. See the connection between the hearts and the ears? Dull hearts, not hearing ears. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Now, that's actually what God wants. He wants them to turn so he can heal them. But he's speaking to them in parables, because only those who want to hear God will. He makes it a little bit of effort, because you have to want to hear God. If you want to do your own thing, it'll be very difficult to hear him. He's saying, I speak to them in parables, so they have to put a little bit of work into it. They have to want to hear me. All you have to do is want to. Because most of the parables, all you got to do is pause, think about them for a little bit, and they come pretty clear, right? But he's saying, I'm speaking to them this way, so that if they're determined to not listen, then they can keep not listening. So the deal is, the principle here is, dull hearts don't hear, right? Dull hearts don't hear. Their hearts have grown dull, so their ears are hard of hearing. There's a connection. We hear with our hearts. Dull hearts don't hear God. So you're probably thinking, well, you know, how do I know if I have a dull heart or not? Well, we'll see. Scripture should help us here, or at least tell us how to not have a dull heart. But I want you to understand that. Dull hearts have a hard time hearing God. I was talking earlier about how we don't hear in our heads. A lot of times, the reason we don't hear God is because we can't get out of our heads. Because we're caught in a swirl of voices, and we have to just go worship and get into peace and get our heart in a place where we can hear. All right? Dull hearts don't hear God. Now, part of the way our heart gets dull is listening to other voices. Let's talk about this. In Mark 4, Jesus says, if anyone has ears, let him hear. We'll talk about this later, but did you notice he said this a lot? Okay, so keep that in mind. Jesus said, if anyone has ears, let him hear a lot. He said, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Be careful what you hear. Be careful the voices you're listening to. Be very careful who you listen to. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. In other words, what you hear will influence what you do, and that will come back around. What you sow, you will reap. And to you who hear, more will be given. So if God speaks and you listen to him, he'll keep speaking. Guess what else? If the devil speaks and you listen to him, he'll keep speaking. Whoever you listen to who you hear, to you who hear, more will be given. So it's very important that we're very careful what voices we listen to. Remember John chapter 10? We read earlier, 10:5. My sheep hear my voice. A voice of a stranger they won't listen to. Part of the reason our hearts get dull is we listen to the voices of strangers. So let's talk about that. There were two specific voices that Jesus warned his disciples about. He's basically saying, don't be influenced by these two voices. You ready? Mark 8, verses 15 through 18. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, leaven, remember, is something you put into bread a little bit, and it spreads through the whole, it spreads and it influences the whole loaf, right? So he's saying, be careful of the voices of listening to, and he makes it clear later, the doctrine or the voices of the Pharisees and of Herod. Now, Pharisees represent basically a religious spirit. The Pharisees were very, very, very religious. We talked before at Easter about the cross, how everything's done with the cross. The voice of the Pharisees is, you got to do it. It's important that you look good outwardly. It's important that you follow the rules and you do everything right and you say the right things and you be religious, right? So this is the voice of, he's saying, be very careful about getting caught up in religion, not relationship with me. I want you to be led by my spirit, not just follow the rules. Not just, you show up on these days, you say these words, you wear these clothes, you don't do these things, you do these things. You're all good. Sound like fun church? Please say no. Thank you. Leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven of Herod is just the voice of the world. Herod was the regional governor. It's just the voice of the world. So he's warning them here, be very careful about religious voices and worldly voices. Be careful about listening to them, right? Now, I love their response. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Now, listen to what he says here. He says, do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? He puts it back in that context of, why are you understanding what I'm saying? You guys, you can't hear me because you have hard hearts. Right? Same thing. Now, here's what I find interesting. He's basically saying that religious voices and worldly voices will dull our hearing heart. Religious voices and worldly voices will dull our hearing heart. Here's what I find interesting, because he goes on and says, do you not remember? And do you not remember? He starts to talk about how I fed the 5,000 and I gave you some stuff that was left over, and how I fed the 7,000. Remember how many things, how many baskets you had left over? He goes, I don't understand how you guys don't get this, right? Here's what's interesting. He's warning them about the leaven of the Pharisees, about religious voices, and their first response is a religious one. isn't it? Oh, he's talking about bread. Oh, God, I know what it is. He's torqued because I can see Jesus now. He's saying, look, guys, this is twice now you guys have let me down. I've had to cover for you and make lunch for everybody. I can't do the ministry if you guys don't do your job. You need to bring lunch. Right? How am I going to get people saved if you guys aren't doing the logistics? Do you see what I'm saying? It's so human nature. Jesus says, be careful of religious voices, and their response is totally religious. Oh, what do we do? What do we do? We did something wrong. We got to do something, right? No, I don't understand how you guys aren't getting this. Did you see me 5,000? Did I look like I was sweating? Did it look difficult for me? We're not worried about food here, guys. I'm worried about doctrine, right? Now we laugh, but we do it. We do. So it's easy to go, oh, yeah, sure, I'm not paying attention to religious voices. We're in a church that doesn't do that. Well, it's very subtle. We can get caught in it. We got to watch, listen to religious voices that want us to put us in a do mode instead of a be intimate with him mode. Now, there's stuff to do, but we do it out of intimacy. And we got to watch worldly voices, right? Doesn't mean, you know, Rachel and I are probably going to eventually, whenever we get time, go see the new Avengers movie, because everyone else in the world has, we should. You know, I pay attention to the news, and I, you know, like to pay attention to politics and all that, but I'm not just listening, I'm not just taking in every voice. Rachel's on Facebook, I don't want to be. Facebook, to me, is just one more opportunity for me to not meet people's expectations, so I don't need that. Seriously, that's my thinking. You guys feel free to adopt my mentality if you want to. You don't have to. But so, nothing wrong with you guys being on Facebook, but there are voices. Right? And we've got to be careful what voices we're listening to. The real thing is this. We have to filter every voice through his word. We have to filter every voice through his word. I'm not saying don't be on Facebook or don't watch movies or don't, you know, be involved in politics or whatever. Absolutely do that stuff. But you got to filter him through his word, or you'll start listening to wrong voices. You don't want to become attuned to wrong voices, believing wrong voices. There's a lot of foolishness out there, right? So this is what Hebrews 5 is talking about. If we listen to the wrong voices, it'll dull our hearing hearts. And we have to use the word to filter those voices so that Jesus' voice and Scripture are the most prominent voices in our head because they're the most prominent voices in our heart. Now, to do that, we have to be in the Word. This is what Hebrews 5 is saying. It's in the context of him talking about Jesus being a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And so it's kind of a deep concept. And the writer of Hebrews says, I have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain since you become dull of hearing. How's that for encouragement? You know, your pastor says, I really want to teach you about this stuff, but you guys can't handle it. That's what he's saying. He says, you become dull of hearing. I've got some deep things of God I want to share with you, but I don't think you can take it. All right? So hopefully, if we were there, that would provoke us to go, well, wait a minute. I want to be able to handle deep things of God. How do I get there? Well, he tells us. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. So they aren't mature in the word. Well, how'd that happen? It says, well, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So there's our solution. We have to become skilled in the word of God if we wanted God to speak to us about deep things. Right? Are you with me? It's like anything else. You have to become skilled in it. I had to, you know, if you went to college and studied something, you had to read books about it to become skilled in it. We read this book to become skilled in the word of righteousness. It says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who by reason of use, what are we using? The word. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what do? We become skilled in the Word, and every time we hear another voice, every time we watch a movie or watch the news or whatever, we just filter it through the Word. And over time, we become skilled in the Word of righteousness. We, through reason of using the Word as a filter for things that are coming at us, enable ourselves to discern good and evil. And you can get pretty quick at going, well, that's foolishness. That's not. Well, that's God. Oh, there's God right there in the news. That's not God. That's a lie. I know where that's from. Right? Because it's all in the Word. And so we go deep, and we'll be able to hear God speak to us on a much deeper level. God will talk to you when you're watching the news about things going on in the earth. God will talk to you about people and things going on in their lives. If we elevate our character and our understanding of the Word enough that we can hear those things and handle those things and process them and do the right thing about them. Now, if you one thing you can do simply, a lot of this, you know, now I've gotten better at the Word, but when I first got saved, most of what I learned in the Scripture was because I had a question I didn't know the answer to, and I went and found it. How many of you know how to use a concordance? All right? You just go, someone says something, and you go, I don't know about that. Well, take another 15 minutes, pick up a concordance, find a couple verses that deal with that topic, and know about it. And go, oh, that's happened to me. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. 2 weeks later, I go to a meeting where they tell me that that's demonic, and it's passed away, and it has examples. This guy had come out of Spiritism, has an example of how all these people did these things. And so here's what I did. Now, this was biblical. I didn't know it was biblical. It's just I didn't know any better. This is what I did. I took my Bible. I went home. I found every verse I could find on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I spent about 2 hours, because this was important to me, closed my book and went, that guy didn't know what he's talking about, and kept praying in tongues. I was maybe a year and a half old in the Lord. How hard was that? But I was willing to practice, to run it through the filter of the Word, to, as it says here, by reason of use, have my senses exercised to discern good and evil. You with me? So we got to do that with everything, guys. You know, I'm going to resist. There's so many interesting examples. I'm not going to go there. All right, so let's finish with this. I said earlier, Jesus says this phrase a lot. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He often said it right after he told a parable. If you read when we went through Revelation, remember the seven letters to the seven churches? Every single one of those letters ends with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's offering us a choice. What he's saying is, you have a choice on what you're going to hear, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to allow into your heart to affect you. Okay? So he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And here's the choice. Remember I said we hear with our hearts. Hard hearts don't hear. Wrong voices will harden our hearts. Hebrews 3:15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. He's talking about the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt and they just complained the whole way and kept wanting to go back, and God had to kill a lot of them. That's what he's talking about in the rebellion. Okay? So he's saying if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's the choice. It's dangerous to hear God, because every time, whether he's speaking through his scriptures, through his voice to you, through whatever, a picture through your kids. Sometimes your five-year-old will be the voice of God to you. That's always scary. However he's speaking, every time we hear the voice of God is dangerous, because there's a choice, and our choice is this. Am I going to say yes in my heart, or am I going to harden my heart? And you are going to do one of those two things. There is no in-between. We're going to either respond with a yes, even if it's, that scares me, I don't want to do that, God. But there's a yes in my heart, help me. But to say no, I have to harden my heart. and that'll dull it, right? Often, it's a choice between other voices and God's voice, all right? So if I'm going to hear that voice, I'm going to have to harden my heart to this voice, whether it's God or another. So if I'm going to hear God, I'm going to have to harden my heart, so to speak, to the wrong voices. You with me? We hear with our hearts. So we have to have a yes in our hearts towards God. We have to watch the voices we listen to because they will dull our hearts. Every time God speaks, it's a choice between hardening our heart or having a yes in our heart. This is why it's so important that we develop trust in God through intimacy, because we're learning to trust His voice, to trust His heart. Amen? All right. How many of you want to hear God more, get better at it? Okay, good. So here's your homework. Go practice. Just practice. I think God wants to talk to us more than we want to listen. That's my view. But He does, but He doesn't, you know, He doesn't just easily come when we call, you know, and snap our fingers. He does draw us. It is often subtle. He will probably draw you near. He does something to me sometimes where there'll be a season where I'm hearing Him, and then it's like, where'd He go? And He's not mad. He's just sort of quit talking to me. And what I've found is, I call it hide and seek. He's playing hide and seek. He wants me to chase Him. And so I start going, all right, where are you? And it's His way of saying, hey, draw in a little bit. Then I'll talk to you some more. You understand? Because ultimately, He's after intimacy, drawing us in. So let Him draw you in. He'll talk to you. Amen? All right. That's all I have to say about that. Probably. All right.